I'm curious, who's already been cooking this morning? Did anybody else's sweet potatoes turn to mashed sweet potatoes? Mine did. They're in a warmer right now until after service. I'll figure out how to make them work after. But Alicia was making fudge this morning. I had John here at 7:30. I had Norm here this morning at 8 o'clock. Our Honda Pilot battery was dead, and they were staying in a hotel last night, and I said, hey, can you save me the trip, and I'll pay for the battery, and you bring it up this morning. I'm sitting down to eat a warm muffin out of the oven, and here comes Norm, and bless his heart, he changed my battery for me in the Honda, and so thank you, Norm. And it's just been already a good morning and busyness. And so we're excited. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sacrificing your time with family to be here in church. And I'd like to just throw this out. If you're a visitor here this morning, this is in front. I would encourage you to fill it out at the end of service in the foyer at the Connection Center. We have a gift we'd like to give you. And then on Tuesday, I will send you an email thanking you for being in service, and also providing a list of local nonprofits. We'd like to make a gift in your name to a local nonprofit. So today we celebrate, what do we celebrate? Jesus' birthday. Can we hit the pastor notes there so my slide shows up? There we go. So we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the hope of salvation, God's plan of redemption. Am I on? Okay. Today we finish our sermon series, Christmas Promise. And because it's Christmas, I thought it was only fitting that today's title should be The Redeemer Has Come. So if you have a Bible this morning, I hope you or someone around you has one that we can look on with. Let me invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I am reading from the English Standard Version. We are going to read a longer passage this morning. But that passage is the Christmas story, and we'll get to that here in a minute. I'm curious who in here has ever taught Sunday school before to kids, kids Sunday school. So every one of you should be able to imagine this in your mind, the story I'm about to share with you. The six-year-old kids and their Sunday school class were reenacting the story of the birth of Jesus. The teacher wanted them to stage it themselves. Okay? Based on their own made-up script. So it was certainly interesting. They had three Marys, two Josephs, six shepherds, two wise guys, not wise men, wise guys, and one boy who decided to play a cow. Another boy decided that he would be a doctor who would deliver the baby. The teacher consented, so the little doctor went back behind the manger, picked up the baby doll, and carefully wrapped it in a blanket. Then with a big smile on his face, he turned to the Marys and to the Josephs, and he said, "Congratulations, it's a God." That little boy had a better grasp of the incarnation than many people much older. The birth of Jesus was an amazing experience of God taking on human form. And this is what we've talked about the last 4 weeks, how God left heaven, how Jesus left heaven to join us here on earth. If you would, let's read our scripture this morning, Luke chapter 2. Just so you know, I normally have it on here, but it was so long. Slides. We're just going to read it together. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This morning, I'd like you to think about the wonder of that first Christmas. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world was born. This has been a culmination of the last 3 weeks to come to this point right now, today. Jesus Christ left heaven. He left all of his infinite glory and chose to be born a human baby on earth. In his infinite power and wisdom, he could have chose to be born in a palace, because isn't that fitting of a king? To be born amongst royalty in a palace? But instead, he chose that of a stable, which, FYI, which was likely a cave, because that's where they made stables. That's where animals were kept. And do you know what the manger was? Manger is where they put the food, where they put the hay, the stuff for the cows and the horses and the donkeys to eat. Jesus chose to be a king born in the most humble of places. Jesus was the Christmas promise, the promise that was promised hundreds and thousands of years. When we started this 4 weeks ago, we started in Genesis chapter 3, the promise of Jesus, the promise that God gave that he would send one to conquer sin and to reconcile man back to him. Church, in Jewish calendar, if we look at the Jewish calendar, from Genesis 3 until the birth of Jesus is anywhere from 4,000 to 5,800 B.C. The promise was made thousands of years ago that Jesus would come. There's a lot that we could find in this text, but today we're going to focus on one thing. Do you know what that one thing is? Jesus. Jesus the Savior is what we're focusing on. Prior to Jesus' birth, the angel told Mary his name would be what? Jesus. At his birth, Jesus was called Savior by the angel appearing to the shepherds. If we recall last week's sermon, what did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? Names. And names mean something, don't they? As the Savior Jesus came to rescue us from sin and its costly result. And what is the result of sin? The result is this: spiritual death and eternal separation from God the Father. That's the cost of sin. His name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, which literally means the Lord saves. So it's very clear who Jesus was, and it's very clear why he was here and why he was coming before he was conceived. So the question that we have to answer today Why did we need a Savior? And I think we have a lot of people in the world today who go about life and say, why do I need a Savior? I'm a good person. I'm kind. I do nice things for people. Why do I need a Savior? Because each and every one of us are born into sin. Ever since sin was introduced, there's not a person born that isn't born into sin. So we are born into separation from God. Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. Who was that one man? Adam. Sin came into the world through one man, which was Adam, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So that tells me that we are all sinners and we all share the same condemnation because we are all children of Adam. But if you read further in Romans 5, verses 17 through 19, it says this, for if because one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Verse 19, for as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Jesus came to make us all righteous and to justify us before God the Father. Jesus broke the power of sin by sacrificing his own sinless life to pay the full penalty, not partial, not part of it, but the full penalty of our offenses against God the Father. You ever sinned before? Paid in full. Does anybody have credit card debt? Don't raise your hand. Pretend that's your sin. Jesus comes, paid in full. Car loans? Pretend that's your sin. Paid in full. He didn't come to partially pay, he came to pay in full. It is because of Jesus that those who accept God's forgiveness and give their lives to him, that they are forgiven and spiritually transformed. Because of Jesus, we are set free from the guilt, slavery, and condemnation of sin. So another question we have to ask this morning, what does it mean to give our life to Jesus? How do we give our life to Jesus? Not only was Jesus called Savior, but if we go back and look at the original text in Luke 2, he was also called Christ the Lord. So why is he called Christ the Lord? Christ in the Greek, if we look in the Greek, it means anointed, which suggests being chosen for a special purpose, being commissioned or empowered or set apart for service. It is the equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. So they have the same meaning. Therefore, Jesus is the only one that is worthy to be the leader and the supreme authority in our lives. There's nobody else. If you turn to, you don't have to turn, but you can put this on your notes and read this later if you'd like. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So giving our lives to Jesus is us giving our lives. We are giving our lives to him so he would rule over our lives. So we're giving our lives over to his rule, to his kingship, if you will, in our lives. What does that mean? That means that we are giving him our total and unreserved obedience to him. What does unreserved mean? It means without any hesitation, our obedience and our loyalty to Him. Because at the end of the day, does God own all that we have? Does anything come? Do we have anything that God doesn't own? Not only does He own all that we have, He has to have our whole heart. It's not a partial thing. It's all. And Matthew 7, verse 20 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." What does this tell us? That we have to be sold out. We have to be sold out wholly and totally to Him. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We give gifts memorializing the gift of Jesus. Who all did gifts this morning? Did you have a good time? So we do that to memorialize the gift of Jesus. We give selflessly. We might even give sacrificially. But do we celebrate Jesus as Lord of our lives? Many people will proclaim the former while ignoring the latter. What happens when Christmas is over? Today's over, tomorrow starts, we get back to life, don't we? Maybe Christmas lights come down, the Christmas tree, who taking down the Christmas tree tomorrow? Anybody? Nobody? Okay, so we're all going to celebrate Christmas longer. That's all right. But life starts to get back to normal, doesn't it? The Christmas is gone, now we're on to the new year, now the snow's no longer pretty and it's all dirty. By the way, who prayed for all this snow? We need to talk after service. But soon, right? So Christmas isn't for another 365 days. And soon the gift of Jesus is no different to us than the Grinch who stole Christmas, if you will. It's just another story. It's just another thing. And would you know that Satan prefers it that way? He would rather that we wouldn't want to live for Jesus, that we don't want to live in the hope and freedom of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's why He was born, to bring us freedom, to give us hope, to know that our sins would be taken care of. Much less does Satan would all of that. Plus, he would rather us not let Jesus be the Lord of our life. It's easy to accept His forgiveness. Is it easy for Him to be Lord of our life? Church, I need you to hear this. Joel, if you want to come on up and get ready. I need you to hear this morning. You can't have Jesus as Savior while not submitting to His Lordship. They're hand in hand. To simplify it, it's this. Jesus must be both the forgiver of our sins, but also the leader of our lives. Because the first doesn't exist without the second. This Christmas, we don't just celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christmas promise. Celebrate that the Redeemer has come. Because He has come. He is here. But we have to allow Him to be the Lord of our life as well. And church, at the end of the day, engaging our community for Jesus, listen, engaging our community for Jesus will be ineffective if we lack Jesus as Lord of our life. If you guys would, bow your heads, close your eyes. This is the point where I talk to you about your relationship with Jesus. And I just want to say, what a day. What a day to say yes to the Lord. To say, Jesus, will You forgive me of my sins and invite Him into your life to be ruler and Lord of your life. So if you're here today, and you know that you need Jesus' forgiveness. You know that you've got sin in your life. You need to be forgiven of. But you also need to ask Him to be ruler in your life. Church, whether this is in a new way, you've never done this before, or you've done this before and you've kind of lost your way, this can be in a fresh way this morning. But if you would like to ask the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, into your life, for forgiveness of sins and to be Lord of your life, would you just raise your hand this morning? Amen. Amen. Seeing none, church, I want to get you back to your families. I want to get you back to your crock pots and your ovens full of delicious food, unopened presents. Today, here's how we're going to close out. Today, we get to respond by celebrating as a church with our family and friends the birth of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer has come. So today, we're going to close in a special song. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Can we all stand and let's close in a quick song?